Today we continue reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Chapter 3, Liberation from the Illusory Energy, Text 34. Sri Raju Vacha,
Sri Raju Vacha,
Narayana Vidanasya,
Narayana Vidanasya,
Narayana Vidanasya,
Narayana Vidanasya,
Brahmana Paramatmana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original feature of the absolute truth. And therefore he places this question before the next of the nine Yogindras, Pippalaya. According to Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the word Nishtha can also be translated as firm faith. In this sense, Nimi Maharaj is inquiring about the process of developing perfect faith in the Supreme Lord. Bhagavan Nishtha. Sri Raja Vacha, Narayana Vidanasya, Brahmana Paramatmana, Nishtam Ahasa Va Novakum, Yuyam Hi Brahman Vittama. Translation again. King Nimi inquired, please explain to me the transcendental situation of the Supreme Lord Narayana, who is himself the absolute truth and the super soul of everyone. You can explain this to me because you are all most expert in transcendental knowledge. Om Magyana Timandasya Yana Jana Svaka Chakshu Munitam Yana Tasmai Shri Garoye Maha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasatane Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namne Namaste Sarasati Devi Kauravani Charini Nivisesa Sunyavadi Pasa Janavesha Karni. You'll find throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, basically Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, is nothing but questions and answers. Someone devotee take on the position of the questioner, and the more advanced devotee or supreme personal Godhead is providing the answers. So therefore asking, hearing and chanting is a process, two of the initial process of devotional service. And to ask pertinent questions is a very important skill of the devotee. In fact, a serious and sincere devotee always keen to make pertinent questions or make inquiries to further enhance their understanding of the nature of devotional service and also the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And very often these questions that are asked and answers given are not only beneficial for themselves but beneficial for everyone. And sometimes these questions are asked for the benefit of others. For example, in the description of the fifth canto, a very interesting description of the fifth canto about the hellish planets. So after hearing all these descriptions of Shukadeva Goswami about how living entities, sinful living entities will have to suffer in the hellish conditions in so many different ways, Maharaj Parikshit, in a very compassionate devotees, was feeling sorry for all this. So it's very nice to describe all this situation. So how can all these people be delivered? Then Shukadeva Goswami answered, they can be free by performing prayasita. In fact, this is the pastime of the pastime for some people in India. They keep chant. They keep chant of pious activities and the impious activities. Oh, so much impious activity perform, so better I do some, give some donation, do some charity work and perform, go to the temple, do some puja, balance it up. Okay, now I've a little plus here, so I can perform some sinful activity. And then now I have to balance it. They keep chart, of course nowadays they use computer programs to keep chart. Before they just have a chart on the wall or something. That's why I see sometimes people, they come to the temple, they offer some donations, they do some puja, they know, oh, I've done something bad, so on. It's not much different than what the Christians are doing. They go for confession. They do something bad, and they go for confession every Saturday to clean up the slate so that the clean slate is something. I told you this story once. time, I had a friend, Indian friend, who is a Christian. And we were driving along the road, and then he stopped in front of his church and said, "Oh, just wait for me in a few minutes." I said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going for confession." So he ran into the church and made confession. Even at that time, I was wondering, what is the use of recording? This guy, he knows very well what he's going to do tonight on a Saturday night. And he's going there to confession to me, like, he's going to start all over again. In the Bible, this is described as elephant, bathing of elephant. Elephant take a bath in the water in the lake. When they get up, they just roll on the ground again and get all muddy. So, sugar in my person rejected it. You say, even though they may perform pious activities or yajna to free themselves from the sinful reaction, but because heart is not purified, they will again perform sinful activities. So please help me on. Then what he went on, Shukadeva went on to say, "Well, one should practice brahmacharya, celibacy, become control of the senses, control the mind, give a whole list." Again, Maharaj Parashi said, very difficult. Even you perform all these austerities, sometimes all these austerities only make our heart more harder. Sometimes you see people perform too much austerity, even devotees. Sometimes devotees, they perform unnecessary austerities, and you find it become very hard-hearted. Our heart is supposed to be soft, molten gold. It's golden, molten, soft. That's a real heart of the body. But by performing too much austerity, it can become very hard-hearted, become very proud. Just like the yogi, they become very proud. And Prabhupada was telling about this yogi. He has learned, by performing austerity, he has learned how to walk on water. So he was walking down the bank of the Ganges. And all these boatmen said, "Please come. 1 rupee or 2 rupees at that time. A few paisa even." And he was proud to walk past them further down and then walk on the water across the river. So for all the austerities, he has to perform just to save a few paisa. What's the benefit? Just to show off how great he is. So Maharaj Parashi also rejected it. And finally, Shukadeva Goswami said, "Kechi kevala bhaktya vasudeva parayana agam dumati Agantu Manikasnena Niharam Iva Bhaskara. So only a rare person who has developed complete unalloyed emotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful action with no possibility that they will revive. He can do this simply by discharging emotional service, just as the sun can immediately dissipate fog by its rays. So by pressing on and asking, it was finally revealed that only by unalloyed emotional service can all these people be delivered. Just as when the sun rises, it's described the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna is like the sun, Maya is like darkness. Wherever there is sun, there is no darkness. And in a similar situation, Ramananda Roy, in his discussion with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was playing the part of the asking the questions, and Ramananda Roy was answering. And he said, "What is actually the highest goal of life?" And first, Ramananda Roy said, "Vanashram." And by following Vanashram system, and he rejected it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected it. He said, "No, that's external. Go on. By offering the fruits of our activities." So, okay, that's very nice, but still go on. By developing transcendental knowledge, keep going, keep going. And finally, Ramana Maharaj described the pure love, undivided love, that is practiced by the gopis in Vrindavan. That's the highest perfection, undivided love. So this, if you find throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, how these questions and answers are going on, inquiry. So now King Nini, after hearing from some of the Nava Yogindras, that by developing devotional service, complete devotion to Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can cross over the illusory energy, which is very difficult to cross. Most people, practically all people in this world, conditioned soul, they are struggling with this material world, being bound up by the stringent laws of nature. And there don't seem to be any aim in sight. Actually, it's a very depressing situation. When you have a problem, big problem, and you don't see any aim in sight, people become very depressed. People become very depressed also when they have so much material desires, and those desires are not fulfilled, they become depressed. Isn't that even in Australia, they say that one in every three person goes through depression. It's a major problem, especially in the Western society. Depression. They have to go to counselors just for free from depression. So, and also you find that the more advanced the society is materially, the higher the rate of suicide in those countries. At one time, Sweden has one of the highest suicide rates in the world. It's one of the more advanced Western countries. And that's even admired by some Europeans. I remember one devotee came up to Denmark, did an interview with me for the Radio Krishna and for Italy. And he was asking questions about it. He said, you know, in here in Scandinavia, people are living very opulent, very high standard of living, that we in the southern Europe look up to. So can you say something about it? So that he gave me an idea how just even in Europe, people in the south look up to the high standard of living. But he has one of the highest suicide rate from depression. And of course from the 6 months of darkness, there's no sun. You have a few months of no darkness, it's only sun. The sun never set. And all you have 6 months of darkness, when the temperature can go down to -35 or -40, it's cold. This Sankirtan day, from Christmas marathon, man, it's cold. You want to know what is cold? That's cold. Freezing cold. You can hardly move your finger, you can hardly move your mouth to say something. Completely wrap up the jacket and the hood that comes out like that. All packed up. And people get depressed. No sun. They commit suicide, they go crazy. So although it may be a higher standard of living, then you have the downside. It's either the sun doesn't set, you can't go to sleep. It's too dark. You want to sleep all day. And then one time out there, we were doing catering in the festivals. By the time we finished, it was about 11 something. So we were preparing to go to bed. By the time we got to bed, it was about 12. And I was seeing the sun just barely touching the horizon, and it was going up again. And I was like, it was good. You could go to sleep because daytime. So, but that's the problem, this material, stringent law of nature. That doesn't matter where we are, we always still find some problem. Like people flock to California. But California is situated right on the fault line. Anytime they get an earthquake, the whole thing just So it doesn't matter where we go in this material world, there are always a karma. There's a place of suffering. And the three worlds of material nature is dominant, in control. So trying to find, and that's what people struggle with, just trying to find solution to all these problems, not understanding that there's no solutions in this material world. But for one who surrender to Krishna, then he just cross over this problem easily. They become insignificant. The huge, big, big problem. That's why anyone who has a Krishna conscious perspective, he may be faced with problems. As long as he has a Krishna conscious perspective, he can deal with any problem easily. He can take on anything. I remember there was one time, one of our sannyasa devotees met a Malaysian Chinese guy on the street in Copenhagen, and he brought him back to the temple. It turned out that he was a shiatsu. He does shiatsu massage. So he was giving treatment to devotees. And I was watching how this devotee used to be bodybuilder. I mean, they're strong. When he pressed on the point, this devotee was trying to get out, and he was wriggling all over the floor, and this guy was just following him, keep pressing on the point. It was all over the floor. And he wanted to give me a treatment. I said, but he was insisting, so I said, all right. And was it painful? It was so, it was like a knife going into you. And he just goes deep. I said, man, you should be working for the police as interrogators. It was so painful. And then he doesn't need any mask of culture. It's just painful. He knows where to press. And what got me through that whole ordeal was that Krishna said that everything is temporary. So normally we relate temporary to temporary happiness. But it also relates to pain, suffering. Whether it's suffering or happiness, it's temporary. And it's going to pass. It's going to, yeah, everything is temporary. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. One time, only one time, I let him touch me. Won't let him touch me. I always choke up in his name. I said, you are steady. Because so much pain. So just with a little knowledge, one can actually overcome so much problems of the material world. And we're not talking even about fully surrender. I remember when I first came to Krishna consciousness, I read in the book that the spirit soul cannot be cut by a knife, cannot be moistened by water, cannot be burnt by fire, cannot be this, that, and that. And I thought, man, I'm invincible. Nothing can harm me. And it was like a big burden he removed from my shoulder. And I thought, suddenly you feel so relieved. I'm a soul of the spirit. And more powerful than a thousand suns, and there's a lot and lot. Cannot be harmed. That's very liberating, that knowledge. So as is described in the previous verse, that by pure devotional service, all this freedom from pain, liberation from the material world, all this knowledge, this is all just fine products. In fact, for one bhakti, this jnana and mukti, or you vairagya, they are like main servants to bhakti. Standing at the door, please accept me. So for a pure devotee of the Lord, it goes beyond just liberation. It goes beyond just knowledge. It goes beyond just renunciation. Because someone who is engaged in the material world, he can never be peaceful. And as Bhagavad Gita says, when there's no peace of mind, then where's the question of happiness? Only the devotees can be peaceful. Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Adhaiva Shanta Bhukti Mukti Siddhikami Sattva Ashanta. The Krishna Bhakta is Nishkam. He has no material desires, therefore he can be peaceful. But the Bhukti Mukti Siddhi, the Bhukti, the maturities, they are full of mature desires to gain so many things. Sense gratification. Mukti, or those Mayavadis, or they want to liberation. They have intense desire for liberation, to merge into Brahman. Or the Siddhis, the Yogis, they also want mature opulences. They want power. They want to create magic. So all these, they are not peaceful. Have you seen the materialist peaceful? No. Actually, in the Bhagavad Gita, there are only two kinds of people who are peaceful. One who is in knowledge, and one who is completely ignorant. Everyone in between, they are not peaceful. When you are completely ignorant, or when you are completely cuckoo, you can be peaceful. Because you live in your own world, and you create your own illusion and everything. Therefore, you see, sometimes you go to these mental hospitals, you find people there in peaceful, laughing, smiling. And you don't even know what's going on, even they're just smiling. So, let them be. Ignorance is bliss, sometimes they say. But everyone else in between, they're not peaceful. And then here you go and just walk out on the street, look at the face, they're not peaceful. And then Mayavadis, they're also not peaceful. They're so worried about not this, not this, not this, neti, neti. They follow the process of neti, neti. This Maya, this Maya, this is Maya. They come in complete anxiety, everything is Maya. Where's the bliss? And the city. Take the case of Duvarsha Muni. Very powerful city, very powerful yogi. That some one time he take a fight, unnecessarily take a fight with Maharshambhuri. Sudarshan Chakra. First he created a fiery demon to try to destroy Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish Maharaj, because of his nishtha, firm faith, and surrender to the Supreme Personality of God, he didn't budge an inch. He said, Krishna wants to protect me, he will protect me. He wants to kill me, he will kill me. Nothing I can do about it. And Sudarshan Chakra, the king, came to protect Maharaj, and immediately fire demon surrender. And he may be fired, Sudarshan Chakra is more fire. And then Sudarshan Chakra was chasing Duvarsha Muni all over the universe. But just 360 spoke just behind the neck. Can you be peaceful? You think Duvarsha Muni was peaceful? With this Sudarshan Chakra just behind the neck? He was not peaceful. He was running everywhere trying to take shelter of Indra, Shiva, Brahma, and finally he even came to Lord Narayan. Narayan said, nothing I can do about it. You offended my devotee, you have to go back. Take forgiveness. He came back for a whole year. Running around for a whole year with this little Chan Chakra right behind you. Sometimes we think we are Brahma. Compared with that. And he surrendered. But Ambarish Maharaj is still waiting. He said, where is he? I'm still fasting. No, I'm still waiting for you to have lunch. So there's no peace. Only Krishna Bhakta is calm. Someone who is calm, he can be peace. And no desire doesn't mean just no, become like a vegetable. No desire. No desire means there's no material desire. So the pure devotee of the Lord, he has no material desire. His only desire, one and only desire, is just to serve and please Krishna. Whatever Krishna wants. No personal consideration. Completely kind. That is the oneness that we want. The oneness in interest. No other interest but the interest of one of the symptoms of surrender, six symptoms of surrender. One is, I have no other interest but the interest of Krishna. So feel the protection of Krishna. To accept everything favorable and reject everything unfavorable. to always depend on the mercy of Krishna and always remain meek and humble. These are the six principles of surrender. So we have no other interest. So only interest is just to serve and please Krishna. The very good example is the gopis. One time Krishna has a headache. He is safe. Only the dust from the feet of my pure devotees, from my head, can relieve me from this pain. So, who was sent out? Was it Uddhava? Uddhava, right? Was sent out? Narada Muni. Narada Muni. He went to the Brahmanas. Brahmanas said, get away. You crazy, out of your mind, taking the dust from my feet and put on Krishna's feet? You go to hell. You know? So then came back the gopis, and Krishna said, now go to Gopi. And the gopis said, how is Krishna? How is Krishna? He has a headache. Oh no! What can we do? What can we do to relieve him from his headache? He said, only the dust from the feet of his devotee upon his head. He said, take as much as you want. Narada Muni said, but are you not afraid of not putting on Krishna's head? Go to hell? He said, doesn't matter, we go to hell as long as Krishna is relieved from his head. That's love. Without any consideration of what, whether what happens to one. Only interest is just Krishna is relieved from his head. So, having established that, now you get the supremacy of pure devotionals to Krishna, which is the ultimate goal is to develop Krishna bhakti, or Krishna prema, love of Krishna. And that's how fortunate we are in this age of Kali Yuga, just after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because in this age, the process of just Harinam, chanting of the holy name, can deliver us to this point of Krishna bhakti, of Krishna prema. Sometimes in our preaching, one may say, oh, you know, just by chanting Hare Krishna, one can become free from more sinful reactions that you can perform in many, many lifetimes. Or chanting Hare Krishna can give one liberation. In fact, during the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there was an assembly of this where many of the Brahmanas were discussing the power of the holy name. And they were arguing back and forth. Say, yes, chanting Hare Krishna free one from all sinful reactions. And others said, no, it actually gives one liberation. And fortunately for all of them, Haridas Thakur was there. And Haridas Thakur said, yes, it is true. By chanting Hare Krishna, you can become free from all sinful reactions. And yes, it's also true that by chanting Hare Krishna, one can get liberation. But these are not the main goal of chanting Hare Krishna. In fact, these are all just byproducts of chanting Hare Krishna. It just comes by the way. He said the real benefit of chanting Hare Krishna is that just by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can attain love of Krishna. And those Brahmanas said that they do not believe it. It sounds too far-fetched. So it's easy. Just chanting the holy name, one can develop love of Krishna. Whereas in the previous ages, devotees go to the forest, perform severe austerity for thousands and thousands of years. They cannot even achieve that platform. Now, Kali Yuga, just by chanting Hare Krishna, can achieve that level which is not achievable in the previous ages. That's it now. So they insulted Narada Muni. Say, if it's not true, then your nose will fall off. Instead of Haridas Thakur's nose fall off, the Brahman will say that he started developing leprosy. His beautiful nose started melting away. Offenses against the Vaishnava. So they cannot understand this. So anyway, the Navayogita has established that point, and now King Nimi wants to find out. Yes? You have established that the transcendental nature of the Supreme Personal Godhead the glories of pure devotional service to Him. Now, please explain to me that the nature of the Supreme. Who is the Supreme? And tell me more about Him. Because after all, if developing love of Krishna is the ultimate goal of life, then tell me more about Him. Because unless I know about Him, how can I develop love for Him? And that is something that many religionists do not understand. Though there is this one point that is similar and agreeable to all religions of the world, it's not to anyone, they will agree to it, that the goal is to develop love of God. Nobody will argue with you on that. But the problem is there's no idea who is God. How to develop love for God unless you know who He is. What He is something vague. You cannot love something that is vague. I don't care. Even if you're the most lusty person in the universe, okay? And I tell you, just down the road, there's a very beautiful girl. Love her. How? How? How do you even begin? There's no concept there. Do you even click on her? But yet they all say, love. Love with all your heart and soul. Love what? So here, Nini wants to know your interest. They establish. Who is that actually the ultimate goal, the Supreme Person of Godhead? It's not only the religionists, but also even amongst the Vedantists. They have a point argument. It's quoted here, Vedantita Tattva Vidas, Tattva Vyantyana Atmanyam. Pramiti Paramiti Bhagavan Iti Sabhita. They all argue that not Brahman is the ultimate, not Paramatma is the ultimate, not Bhagavan is the ultimate. They argue back and forth and back and forth. But we do not waste our time arguing. He said, Brahman is ultimate? Yes, it is ultimate. Paramatma is ultimate? Yes. Bhagavan is ultimate? Yes. They all are ultimate. It's just that one is more ultimate than the other. That's the absolute nature of things. You can say this is the greatest. Yes, it's the greatest. But there's something also greater than the greatest. And greater than the greatest and greater than the greatest. Why? Because Krishna is unlimited. You cannot say this is greater and that's it. That's the limit. He may be greater, but he can also become greater and greater than the greatest and greater than the greatest. And we're expecting. So you also want to establish a point to make it clear. When we talk about the Supreme, the Absolute Truth, who is that Supreme? Who is the Absolute Truth? And he's not just asking anyone. You say, you can explain this to me because you are almost expert in transcendental knowledge. That's another important quality. To know who to ask. It's not just about asking questions, and also who to ask. You don't go to a poor man. Ask, my dear sir, can you teach me how to become a millionaire? You say, well, please let me be my millionaire first. I once read in the book, someone made a quotation. He said, Wall Street is a very amazing place because only in Wall Street you find people coming in the Rolls Royce and trusting their money to people who come by tram and underground. That's the financial planners. People are entrusting their money, going to the financial planner, and please teach me how to invest my money. We depend on people who never invested their money in their life. They only learn about different products of investment. They're not investors themselves. And all these rich investors depend on it. It doesn't make sense. Yeah. So, if you want transcendental knowledge, we have to ask transcendentalists. We have to seek one out. And so, depending on who you ask, you ask the wrong person, you get the wrong question, wrong answer. You ask the wrong question, also you get the wrong answer. We have to learn how to ask and who to ask. That's important. So, if you require something about our time, it is an easy process, but it requires qualification. And ultimately, it all boils from our desire. All boils from our desire. What do we really want? And what we really want will come out in what kind of questions we ask. What you become very much depends on what kind of questions we ask. And who we ask. So by asking the right question and from the right person, you'll get the right answers. And then it's up to us what we do with the answers. Okay, this is what I have. Prepare for the wrong class. The other we gave 2 verses yesterday. So are there any questions or comments? These are interesting verses. When we talk about liberation, this is the verse. Iha yasya haridasya kamana manasa gira nikila sa devasatam jiva mukta suvachate. Whatever his condition may be, one who is engaged fully with his body, mind and speech in the service of the Lord is liberated, even within his body. Whatever condition it may be, and if we are just engaged fully in devotional service of body, mind, speech, we are considered liberated. You will be liberated. And in the end of the purport, it's talking about nishtam here. Nishtam atmatm novitvaktum. So Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explain this word nishtam as firm faith. So Nimit Maharaj was inquiring how about the process of developing perfect faith in the Supreme Lord. This verse from the Bhagavatam quoted by Lord Brahma in his prayers to Krishna after the Brahma Vimoha Lila. Where Lord Rama stole the cow boys and Krishna expanded himself into all the cow boys and cows. So after that, Lord Rama came and secluded place to see Krishna and offer his prayers. One prayer he offered, which was later quoted by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya changed one word. What it is, it's a tattva kampam susamikshamana. Bunjana Ivatma Kritam Vipakam Ridva Bhapavir Vidadan Namaste Jivetayo Mukti Pade Sadaiva. That a sincere devotee, even though he may be faced with adverse condition, he will just accept it humbly, considering that this is due to my past karma, I'm suffering this way. Because my past karma is in this situation. And he continues to engage himself with body, mind, words in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a devotee has become a bona fide candidate for liberation. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was one of the top Mayavadi of his time. But after after becoming enlightened by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, became a bhakta, he didn't like the word bhakti. Jivetayo mukti pade. He didn't like the word mukti. So he changed the word to bhakti pade. So he said mukti pade, he changed it to bhakti pade. So that's bhakti. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu corrected him. First of all, you cannot just change the words from Bhagavatam. And he went on to explain that real mukti means when one is engaged, fully engaged in devotional service. All other forms of liberation is incomplete. It's also described in Bhagavatam. Yeye Ravinda Shavi Mukta Madanas, Payas Bhavya Hasuda Bodhaya, Aruya Krishna Parampada Pata Patantya Do Nadita Yusman Braya. The Mahavadis, by performance of very severe austerity, they become the stage of liberation. Actually, that liberation is only in the mind. Vimukta Madanas. Liberation only in the mind. Why? Because Avisuddha Buddhaya, the intelligence is still impure. And what happened to them? They fall down again to this material world and engage in so-called welfare activities. Not of any spiritual nature, just welfare activities. But then welfare work. So when we talk about mukti for devotees, there's only one form of liberation that is relevant. That is when one is cursed, and then actually it's described in Bhagavatam. Real mukti means when one is cursed, constitutionally situated. When one is situated in his constitutional position of as the eternal servant of Krishna, that's real liberation. As long as one is not situated in his constitutional position as eternal servant of Krishna, he's not liberated. So I say that in the previous verse. If one is fully engaged in body, mind, words in the service of Krishna, he's liberated because he's situated in his constitutional position. No questions? Yes. Make my day. Good question. Just speak up about that hearing problem.
Why Krishna is having this feeling? So we are, I think that we are having this closing view and this is Krishna feeling. But why Krishna is having this?
Why?
Why Krishna is having this feeling?
Why we have this feeling? Is the feeling of Vaishnava? You have remember this Tulasi is Brahma Shiva? Alright. What is your answer?
I have heard that this is Tulsi leaf and this is the feet of Krishna.
Feet of Krishna.
But I was wondering that why Krishna is having it.
Why?
Why Krishna is having what he's got.
Why Krishna also have it?
Yeah.
I don't know, just tell me. I should have pushed for a question. I should have been having a hard time. That would have been alright.